interview with Peter Milton, Labor backbencher, Parliament House, Canberra, 11th of May 1989.
I'd like to talk to you about your general views on the Parliament executive relationship as they are at the moment.
Well, I produced a paper which I can give you a copy of, which I'm sure you'll keep confidential. It's
sure.
Not anything
sure.
That I think is better, but from a party political point of view, that's a bit outdated now.
Mm.
Produced it some time ago. And that was my views about the relationship between the, and I'm talking now of course about the Labor Party, and since after all we're in government, I'm talking about the Labor Party in government.
Right.
The operation of the executive vis-a-vis the federal parliamentary Labor Party and the committees, the caucus committees, and indeed the parliamentary committees too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in relation to the parliamentary committees, of course, we're dealing overall with what might happen if an opposition came in. Well, when you see the paper, you'll see that my concern was that the executive, through a variety of devices, were able to supersede the procedures of the caucus. And I don't know that I need to go into it in great detail,
yeah, sure.
But it was largely being done by a number of devices. They used the budget system, which is now 6 monthly, basically, and there's 2 budgets a year now. They used that as a means of implementing policy, and they were using a number of other devices of sort of urgency and all this sort of thing, for things to go through and not be reported to the caucus committees. Now, particular case in point, a very recent case in point, is the Resource Assessment Commission, which has just been going through the Parliament now. Now, the responsible minister was Peter Cook. Peter Cook, the Resources Assessment Committee, you don't even know what it is, but anyhow, what it is a body that's to be set up to deal with problems where resource development conflicts with conservation. Now, what should have happened is that the committee, the caucus committee most interested was primary industry. But the Environment Committee was also involved equally, because that's what it is. It's problems between resource development and environmental considerations and safeguards. So it should have come to us. It didn't. The Minister didn't report to us. Now, Graham Richardson reported in the end, but my view was that Cook should have come and reported to us, but he didn't. And now the bill is in the House, and it's, in fact it's not satisfactory from our point of view, and we passed resolutions, they seem to have been ignored. And that happens time and time again.
Do you think that's deliberate executive arrogance or pressure of time or what?
Well, whatever it is, it's not excusable. I mean, it's either, in that case, I mean, you've either got to say it's executive arrogance or it's executive incompetence. I mean, really, one could take it as seriously as that. It's one or the other. I wouldn't be saying this, you know, outside my... I mean, it's sort of like an attack on your own party, but I think it happens in the Liberal Party just as much, only I'm sure it does, and it would happen in the National Party, where, you know, I'm sure they'd be even more autocratic. And probably the National Party doesn't mind passing over these kind of functions to an executive. Say, okay, well, you get on with it. You know, it's fine. I don't know. But... So, one of the things that I was particularly keen on, I was quite keen on the improvement in the parliamentary committee system, because I thought actually the system that we had in the House of Representatives, where you could, as they have in the Senate, where you could vet the government through the estimates committees, were really good. And now that was stopped by our government. And because it was being used, obviously, by the opposition, as it is in the Senate, you know, for all sorts of political advantages. But a strong government shouldn't have to worry about that. But nevertheless, they did improve the parliamentary system, and they really conceded to us, okay, we've got rid of the estimate committees, but we do understand there needs to be an overseeing of executive functions, the government's functions, called government and executive together.
Mm-hmm.
So they widened the number of parliamentary committees. The trouble is, though, that in so doing, they took away from those committees the powers of their own references.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that was a very serious...
I've raised that with most people, and that most people do agree that the executive should have the power to stop that.
Well, I tried to stop it, And at the time, I can tell you, I did try to stop it. I spoke to Gareth Evans, who was involved with it at the time, and he argued that, look, Peter, if you keep pressing this, you won't get any reform at all.
And I remember Gareth Evans in the late 70s was very strong in parliamentary reform. He used to talk to lots of school groups.
That's right, absolutely. That's exactly what's happened. Gareth was very strong on a lot of things that he's not strong on now. He's a minister. And it's a different perception, you see, they've got different perceptions. So I think that, as I said in my response, that I believe the executive is far too powerful. Now, in the case of the Labour Party, my reasons are specifically because the Labour Party has published a policy document. Now, in my view, I understand, and I've said this in the paper, which I'll give you, I think there were two actually, that I understand that you cannot lay down policy in a document, the government's got to follow that all, and that's ridiculous. You can't do that. And I'm not suggesting that. Some would say that, perhaps, but I wouldn't. I mean, it's got to be flexible, particularly in foreign affairs. I mean, it really has to be flexible there. And sometimes the policy's broad, and you've got to push through. But there are some things where the policy is pretty sacrosanct, and this government's broken policy on a number of occasions. I mean, once blatantly, and that was the Iranian missiles to France. But that was something they really probably, I don't know if they regretted it or not, but they certainly said that that would never happen again. But they've done a whole lot of others, which are minor transgressions, if you like. But I mean, the sum total of them all is against the general part of the way the party policy is perceived. Now, okay, that's fine. It's kept us in government, and we don't want to get involved in a philosophical discussion. But I accept that too, but it's moving us gradually away. I mean, we will lose eventually, and when we do lose eventually, it might not be the next time, it'll be the time after that, but when we go, we'll go down in a screaming heap, and we might be out of office for 15 or 20 years like we were before. And I think that's I think that's dangerous. But the whole point, though, is that the executive has got this power, which it uses and which I've set out in a variety of ways.
A lot of people I've spoken to have mentioned, particularly in the Labor Party, that it's through the caucus committee that the real scrutiny has occurred.
That's right.
And some have said it's been very good, others have said what you've said, and there's big problems. Quite a few Labor people have said that. But are we then talking, we're talking about party government, aren't we, really?
Yes.
What about the Parliament in general? Can the Parliament in general scrutinise the executive? Or is parliamentary government really a term that's outdated now? Is it really
parliamentary? Well, I think through the parliamentary committee system it can scrutinise the executive in the sense that it can take on inquiries and in the course of those inquiries can uncover what the government's doing. Now, the point is the government's safeguarded by having the majority of its members there and the chairman and so forth. But when the government's not doing things, or it can, in a way, it can prevent the government from doing things, it's not quite so easy to check. I mean, in the estimates committees in the Senate are able to do that. And to some extent, I think the Parliament, after we're talking about the whole Parliament, seems to be in place. Yes. Now, you see, I think that the Senate is the proper place to... Are you off, Karen?
No, I'm just going to the toilet.
Right. That I think the Senate is a proper place to undertake that kind of scrutiny, like with the estimates committees and so on.
Quite a few of the Labor people I've spoken to still see the Senate as, I'd like to see it got rid of, and they know that won't happen.
Well, it's not going to happen.
They see it as a waste of time.
Yeah, well, I mean, to some extent I did, but I think that it can in fact serve a very useful purpose. I mean, the trouble with the Senate is it is used for party political purposes, and we'd do the same, I suppose, if we were there. I don't know how you overcome that, but in fact the Senate could be a very useful chamber in keeping a constant check on what the government's doing, not by way of sort of repeating everything they do. I mean, what happens here is that if the government does something here, then they do the same thing over there. They constantly kind of catch them out. I mean, a tremendous waste of time. And the Senate has a lot of waste of time just simply because, I mean, you shouldn't be able to get up on an adjournment debate and speak for half an hour. Why do you need to speak for half an hour? It's an incredible waste of time. And they say they haven't got very much time, and yet they allow members to, allow their senators to do that. Now, I think probably 5 minutes in our case is a bit short, but I mean, they could cut theirs down to 10 minutes, and they shouldn't allow, I mean, some of their speeches, everybody has half an hour or something. Well, if it takes half an hour to say something, then, you know, there's something wrong. And I think they should be able to cut it back to 20 minutes. So, I mean, there are things they could do. Mm. And I suppose it's not for me to say how they should reform their chamber. But, I mean, we're talking about how the Parliament operates.
Yeah, right.
I think they could have them more time to exercise the scrutiny that they do. Mm. I mean, a lot of the senators complain to me, and I think it's a reasonable complaint, that they're on about three committees. Mm. You know, and they can't do the job properly. Mm. Well, I understand that. But that's part of the trouble, is because they spend too much of their time on this sort of party political stuff, which we can do in the chamber here. Mm. We don't need to do that. They should be concentrating on what I think are more practical things, mm. and that's how the government is operating. Anyhow, so, you see, coming back to us, yeah, I think the estimate committees were good, but I'm not sure with the spread of work that we've got now, with the committee spread as they are, that we really have the same, you know, we've got the time to get involved in those estimate committees though, yeah. as we do. So I don't know that I would favour a return of that now, because as I say, I think the Senate's got that can do that.
Mm.
But here, I think that the parliamentary committees should be able to have their references, should be able to make that absolutely vital, because there's no independence if they can't. Now, I think it's in those committees that things can be done which can perhaps point a direction in the way the government should go, or show where government, a reform should occur. Now, so far as the actual curbing of the executive in its day-to-day business, that seems to me as government committees should be able to do that. I mean, the opposition does its job, but it's only the government committees that can really curb the executive, and then the opposition can't do that.
Do you think this, you know, the average backbench has got enough resources, and has the parliament got enough resources to adequately cover the, I mean, some people say they need more staff or they need more research back up. Given all your constituency demands and everything else, has the average parliamentarian got enough time and resources to cover the vast area of the executive?
Well, I'm inclined to think at the moment we're probably sitting on around the need for 3.5 staff. You know, I want somebody with me here all the time when I'm in Canberra. Now, Karen's going home now, but I mean, that suits me. She goes, she'll go at 4:15.
Mm.
Okay, on a Thursday, I don't mind that. But as things stand at the moment, it makes it very awkward for the two who are left in the office. It is difficult just to have two. And in fact, my wife is really operating for half of her time as a sort of part-time assistant. I mean, sometimes she's up here and she's working, they're both working.
Mm.
You know, so I think we could... I wouldn't want anybody here permanently in Canberra. It'd be ridiculous. I mean, what would they be doing in the 2 weeks when I'm not here, half the year when I'm not here? But I would want them back in my electorate, you see. But I reckon I could. We're almost up to needing another member of staff. Cheerio. Thanks very much.
See you, Karen. Yeah.
And the thing is, I think that I don't believe we should be increasing the number of members in the House, because, you see, I think we've already got too many senators as it is. I mean, I suppose we in the House, you have to be probably working in the Senate to really know what they're all doing, but I sometimes wonder why they need three members of staff over in the Senate. But
one of the senators said to me that he thought he had a bigger constituency workload than the average MHR.
Well, I'm amazed at that.
Well, I have to admit that's the only one I've ever heard of.
Well, all I can say about that is that his MHRs in his area, that in his state, can't be working with, or he's suggesting they're not working
from
very
Queensland,
well.
He was.
From
Queensland.
Queensland, yeah. Well, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Mm.
But I think from my point of view, I would say that I don't want to get into criticising the number. I don't really know enough about what all the senators do. Presumably you could do. You could, excuse me. Right. I didn't know whether, I don't know who he is, so I can't give her. I really could have given the phone number, but I don't know. You know, I don't know whether she'd want the phone number.
Mm.
It's a bit difficult. Could have got, I might have been able to get a message to her, I suppose. Oh, well. What was I saying?
About staff, I think, wasn't it? About staff and the work of senators?
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's right. Well, as I say, I don't want to talk about that. I think what I was really going to say was I think that what we have to do now, I think there's enough members of Parliament, you know, and I reckon that our constituents is... Well, as I was saying, I don't think we really should be increasing the number of members, federal members of Parliament. I think Australians have a general view that they're overrepresented anyhow. So I would have thought as the population grows, we should in fact have more and more constituents, with us perhaps looking at maybe 100,000 constituents each eventually, in which case we would need more staff members. By that time, we probably will need about four, possibly five staff members with that larger number of constituents. So that to my mind, you know, from the point of view of having more support, I don't find it a great problem at the moment, but I certainly could, as I say, easily employ another half a person, and I probably wouldn't find it too difficult to use another person full time. So, yeah, from that point of view, I certainly, you know, would agree with that. What else? I think that we sort of exhausted that.
Yeah. One area that a lot of people put up for why the executive is dominant is party discipline. What are your views on party discipline? Some Labor members have said they'd like to see it lessened, but instantly pointed to the problem with the media. And in Britain, the discipline's not as great. There are people who cross the floor and so on. Do you think it would be possible to lessen party discipline? Or is it necessary?
No, I don't think it is. I think to some extent to lessen party discipline would weaken the party. I know the feeling of some people, but I find they're not perhaps as ideologically strong as I am. I think that if you're strong ideologically, you accept that you try to get the party to get the policies of the party changed, and at conferences. I mean, we are, to some extent, you know, all the democratic structure is there, what you have to constantly try and do is to reform your party to make sure that the ordinary members really do have a say in what goes on. Now, the unfortunate part about it is that the Labour Party has become a little bit rigid in recent times, and I don't think that, I mean, the structures we've got in Victoria are not too quite good, I think, but I don't think they're good in New South Wales. It's there's been a dominant group have taken over in New South Wales, and at the moment it's sort of not been broken. Now, you can have it the other way. You can have a dominant group of the left take over in other places. That's not good either. And what you're doing, though, you're improving the democratic structures of the party so the ordinary party members have a say. Now, that means that with all the people come into the party, they help to change it, and members of parliament are then there to implement that policy. Not to change it, but to implement it. Now, at the moment, unfortunately, as I pointed out, the executive is too strong, and it's actually shaping the policy of the Labour Party, and I think that's wrong, and it's losing us support. Those members who think that the discipline is it should be weakened are people who basically, I think, are on the right of the party and are looking at the Labour Party to be some sort of social democratic party rather than a democratic socialist party. And now they should find some other party.
Do you think it matters, though? I mean, if occasionally Graham Campbell crossed the floor on gold, for instance, would that matter if on, I mean, not issues that are going to bring down the government or financial things, would it really matter if the odd person crossed the floor?
Yes, it would, because it happens that gold is an important, and gold and uranium are important issues for Graham Campbell. But I have important issues for me, and they might be, for example, putting tertiary education fees, whatever you like to call them, you like to call it a higher administration charge or whatever. The point is it's a tertiary education fee, and as far as I'm concerned, I'd like to cross the floor on that. Then there would be other issues that I might want to cross the floor on, and I mean the uranium issue is obviously one. When they sold uranium to France, rather than get up and make a fuss as I did and walked out of the parliament, I would have liked to have crossed the floor on that, but I couldn't. So I mean, it's all real well for Graham to cross the floor on his issues, but all of us have got different issues we cross the floor on. So in the end, you wouldn't have any discipline at all. And that's not the way the Labour Party has worked. I mean, the whole structure of the Labour Party is supposed to be that democracy comes from the bottom upwards. It's not the way the Liberal Party works. The policy comes from the top downwards. And people join because, you know, and they accept that. Ours is different. So, as I say, if members of Parliament representing the Labour Party should accept the structure it is and try and reform it. And if they're not happy about, you know, to get party members to have more of a say.
Okay, what are your general views on the new building, and do you think it'll have any effect on Parliament executive relations?
Yes, the trouble with the new building, I think, is that all of us were used to the intimacy of the old building. It was technically incompetent building, you know, I mean it was technically deficient, that's the right word, technically deficient. And modern communications, you know, are very important. I mean, you know, we've got the television screen. I can see who's on in the parliament. I can listen. I can get in there if there's something. I can see a bit of commotion. You've got it's much better than listening. You can really see, and it's good to have it on. You can focus in straight away on what's going on, and you can see suddenly you notice somebody speaking, and you're concentrating on doing work, and you look up and I think, oh, I want to hear what he's got to say or she's got to say, so you turn it up. You see. I've done that quite a lot, so that's a tremendous improvement. But the whole communications generally in the place from the technical point of view, the phones and all the things that you can use are really excellent. But the problem is the personal intimacy has gone. So I never see the senators. I see the senators when we have party meetings. But the caucus committees, you do see senators then sometimes, but basically they've got so many of their own committees that they've not got time to come to ours. So you don't see, that's a bit of a problem, the operational caucus committees. And so I think it's going to take time for us to get used to this place and to get these in. I just think it's a problem I don't believe that you can overcome. You should have a building that's like this because we needed it. You know, we needed the space. And if you've got all this space, like in an office, obviously you're going to be a long way apart. I think we will get used to that eventually, but there's no doubt about it. At the moment, it's a tremendous disadvantage. We don't see enough of each other. You've really got to go out of your way. Now, it's up to the ministers, really, to overcome this. The way they can overcome it is how they are trying to do it, having little parties or inviting people along. They send a notice around and invite everybody. Those who want to go, go. Now, I can't go to all ministers' suites, but I've been to a few just recently, and I think that's quite a good idea.
You think they should have been mingled around, like in the old...
The ministers?
Or separate wing?
No, I think probably the separate wing is more efficient from their point of view. I mean, if I were a minister, I imagine, you know, you need to have a pretty lot of contact together. I don't quite know whether the design of moving them around would have been, I don't think that would have made such an efficient government, you see. I mean, I'm all for efficiency in government. It's just the power that worries me. Obviously, that gives them more power being together, I suppose. But I don't think you can avoid that, Greg. I think that's, if you're going to have a building that works properly, you're going to have a government that works properly, then they've got to be together. They've got to find, and we have got to find devices for other ways of meeting. Most ministers attend committee meetings, and you see, there are several of our senior ministers who are notorious in not attending committee meetings. That's bad. I mean, that game is something that should be forced to attend, or should be required to attend.
Is this caucus committees or parliamentary committees?
Caucus committees, not... Yeah. They don't have to attend parliamentary committees. They come if you ever, but you never ask them. You can ask the public servants to come along and so on. No, not parliamentary committees, but in the caucus committees, not all, you know, I mean, let's face it, the Treasurer is particularly bad at that, not turning up. Because I'm not on any of the committees he's on. I think most of the ministers I've been involved with have been pretty good. I mean, Gareth Evans was very good. So... I think that, and there is another problem with the caucus committees too, is the fact that a lot of members don't turn up, but they turn up when there's a crucial issue on a vote. So they come in and cast their vote, you see, to either overturn perhaps a motion that's unsuitable to the government or something. The government always seems to be able, executive, always seems to be able to pull out enough members who are prepared to come along and vote for them. That's not good either, because, I mean, those members should really turn up all the time, and they don't. So that's, again, a fault of the system. Coming back to your point about this place, yes, I think it's going to take us a long while to get used to it. But I think we're going to have to get used to it. And we'll find ways of overcoming this business. But it's much fitter. I mean, I reckon having to move around this place the way we do, and that's good, that keeps you fit. I don't think there's any harm in that, you know. It's a bit of a nuisance. If I'm late for a committee meeting, when I was late for a committee meeting in the old place, I could be there in 1 minute. Now it takes me 5 minutes, and even then I have to sort of run part of the way. You know, this is not particularly dignified running through corridors. Not that I matter much about dignity, but still.
Well, just the last area then, briefly. What sorts of reforms do you think are achievable to perhaps get the balance back a bit more in favour of the Parliament? If the executive is too dominant, what can be done? I mean, you talk about some of the problems in your particular party, but I think in parliamentary context,
Well, as I said, I think that the parliamentary committee system, it's been widened, and that has been good. But I think that it should have given the opportunity for parliamentary committees to have their own references. Mm. Now, that seems to me to be quite vital. Now, as yet, I'm not aware of the government of exercising its power of refusing us ones that it doesn't want to pass on. We haven't really been doing it long enough. The trouble is, the reforms that I see are ones that are the deficiencies I see in my own party.
Mm.
And they involve improving the party system in the way that the papers which I'll give you indicate.
Mm.
I can't think at the moment of any... I think some of the procedures in the House itself are bad. Now, the point is, the present, what's happening at the moment in the House is that ministers, it's true that they're making statements in questions. And the reason they do that is because the Senate is abusing its powers. It's using statements by ministers to have a full-scale debate in the Senate.
Mm.
Well, that was never... I mean, I don't really think that was what the Senate is there for. But I think to have a full-scale debate, I mean, that means you've got... it's like a minister makes a statement and they treat it as though it's a bill and they have 20, 30 speakers or something. Now, that's the reason why the government's doing what it's doing. So the question time's being abused, and there's no doubt it is being abused. I think what ought to happen is there ought to be, really, the two parties, all the parties have got to come together, get some reform that they're all acceptable. Okay, look, this is mucking up the system. It's not good, the general image outside.
Mm.
The question time is like a bear garden, and it's perceived that way outside. It's not doing... I mean, I don't know why the opposition can't understand it's not doing them any good any more than it's doing us.
Mm.
And so something's got to be done with question time. It's pretty bad.
Mm.
So far as the House itself is concerned too, I don't know what you can do about the system. You look in the chamber now, there's only two people speaking. Now it's coming on television. That's going to look pretty bad outside. Mm. We've got to find a way of more members being involved And I think you could probably roster members a bit to attend.
Yeah, someone else has mentioned that.
Yeah. Now, it's going to be difficult for us, admittedly, but let's face it. I mean, you can go in there and write when you're in there. I mean, you can't do
it. Is that a symptom of sort of where the action really is? The action's not really on the floor of the chamber.
No.
The action's in the party room.
Yeah, and in committees and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. But, you see, it's a difficulty for me. I'm a strongly ideological person. And therefore, I believe a party... has its policies which it shapes, and then you follow those. So everything springs from that, that the discipline should be there.
Mm.
But others, of course, would see it differently. Well, they'd like to see a much more open system.
Mm.
But that doesn't work with the party system and the view of an ideology. If you haven't got a strong ideology, that's fine. It would be all right if we all agree with the system we've got here, that there's nothing wrong with it at all. You know, deregulation is fine and privatisation is fine and you know, all that sort of thing, and let's have a full-blown capitalist economy and let's just get on the floor there and argue about the corruptions and the imperfections of that system, or let's have a socialist system and have that and let's sit there and but that's not the way it is. I mean, you know, it's the ideologies are too far apart and so you can't do that, otherwise it'll be fine. So I don't think that works, but I would think that you should have more people in the House. Now, you might get away with 25% of people being in there, perhaps for part of the time.
Mm.
But as it is, it's at the moment, all you've got, usually, is the opposition the opposition shadow minister and the two duty people at the table, and two people speaking, perhaps.
Mm.
The most you have is half a dozen people in there.
Mm.
Now, that's nonsense. Now, there's over 200 of us. So nearly 200.
Wouldn't that make it harder for the committee system to operate though, if you had those people tied up for that next year?
Well, you only need, I mean, I reckon if you had 50 in there, that would be okay. And that only means you roster people to attend.
Mm.
I don't quite know how you would be able to, I mean, you may not even need us, you just need more than you've got at the moment.
Mm.
It would be difficult for the committee system, I agree.
Mm.
It would be a bit of a problem. But it does seem to me there must be some way of having a bit of a duty where you go in for the... It would be difficult to do it in the way of bills and things. It's just that all I can say is we need to devise something. Because when that gets on television more and more, as it will, inevitably, there will be sections of it, when people look, they'll say, what the hell are they doing? They don't understand that we're in empty rooms. Now, maybe there might be some way of televising the committees or something, I don't know, but I think it's probably going to
certainly be... Certainly the level of knowledge about how the place works is important.
Oh, absolutely.
It's an area I really, I've pushed for a long time about more education on Parliament, but it's just, things are going backwards.
Yes, it is. I don't know, I think you can only do it really at HSC level.
Victoria's the only state that has it. So I taught politics there for many years.
Yes.
And I just got frustrated. One of the reasons I got out was I couldn't get classes.
No.
Right. There wasn't enough kids doing it to run a class.
No. Well, that's a bit of a problem. Mm. Now, well, now, of course, politics is much more, I think, is much more acceptable. Isn't it? I think most classes...
There's so many other things that have come into the syllabus. I mean, they now want schools to be welfare agencies, basically.
Mm.
So if parents aren't training kids how to ride a bike, they want the schools to do it. They've got the AIDS education, the drugs education, how to say manners,
yes.
You know, all those welfare type things. Yes. Schools are being lumped because families aren't coping.
Yes, yes. Well, that's a bit of a problem about the development of our society, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I just don't think we can. I mean, the credibility of people, they're just not going to accept an empty house, and we've got to do something about it. We can't say with television as it is. We've really got to make sure people are watching it. So, I mean, people...